Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I tend to be a spiritual tourist when I leave these climes. When I go on vacation, I like to go to different churches, mainly churches that I'm not familiar with, churches of other denominations. I just love to do that. And invariably, in some of these churches, there are called praise teams. Now, these are people who are very well dressed. The ladies have on their makeup, and they usually have microphones, and my theory is that it's to drown out the discordant notes in the congregation. So these are people who know their music, and they sing beautifully, and they usually look in rapt attention to whatever's going on. They want to have the congregation join in and be a part of the praise of the church. So you'd rarely see a frown. You rarely see someone fumbling with music. They're always happy. Now, we have a choir, and we do tell them smile when they're singing, and we hope they do. But the purpose is to bring people, usher them into praise. I have never been to a church that has a dirge team, a team of lament, a team where they say, now we've had our praises, now we'll have our dirges. Although sometimes people accuse the Moravians of having dirgy music. Even in funerals, I don't hear many dirges. In fact, when my mother was preparing her own funeral a year out from her death, she put in capital letters, no dirges. I can understand that. We don't like lament. We don't like to be sad. And so we try to put a stiff upper lip on things, especially in the American culture. When someone dies, we talk about the widow or the person that's lost the loved one as being very brave. But you and I both know that there are times, if we're brave to the public, that in the middle of the night, when no one can see and no one can hear, we are screaming out our despair. There is place for lament, and we've lost it in this culture. But our Old Testament friends understood that there was a place for lament, even within the worship service. And the book of Lamentations was not just somebody bellyaching about how hard it was in his life, but he set it up so it could be spoken and sung during worship. And actually, in the book of Lamentations, the only really happy or decent part of it is what we read today. You should read the whole book. It talks about what a dirty, rotten bum God is, and how awful life is, and how unfair it is. And the person who wrote it was reflecting the horror of the people of his time, because Jerusalem was in rubble. Their home was shattered, and they had intense suffering. And so within the lament was the talk of how awful things were. We can understand lament. I think of the woman in the gospel passage we read for 12 years lamented. She had a condition that was horrendous. She had gone to every doctor known, and no one could do anything about it. But beyond that, it was a shameful illness. It's even written in the Bible that a woman in this condition was considered unclean, unholy. and she would have not been allowed in the temple. So for 12 long years, she was isolated from the good people of God by regulation. It also says that if she touched anyone, they would be unclean, unholy. So the unholiness was contagious. So you can imagine how isolated she was in her community, and even in her own family, they could not touch her without being unholy themselves. And so she goes into that crowd, and she probably made sure that no one would recognize her. And when she grabbed a hold of Jesus, she instantly made him unholy too and unclean. And what she had hoped to do was grab her healing and run the other way. But Jesus stopped. And when the Bible says she came in fear and trembling, that was accurate. Because she knew that the minute she spilled the beans about who she was and what kind of illness she had, she would imagine the crowd backing up. Did we touch her? And Jesus took what was unholy and what was unclean, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well," and he restored her. 12 years of lament, 12 years of isolation, and she was fully clean and whole. But then there was another one in the crowd, Jairus by name. Poor Jairus had a terrible problem too. His little girl was dying. It must have been imminent because the crowds had already gathered at his home. I've seen in little towns when there's a death that's recognized, that somebody's going to die, that the people start baking the cookies and cake for the repast after the funeral. I know when my father was laying dying, I was ironing his suit that he was going to be laid out in. We do make preparations. And this crowd was prepared, and as soon as the child died, they gathered at the house. And when Jesus came there, he found screaming and wailing and weeping, because that was the culture. And I think they have something on us staid Americans. So the weeping and the wailing was going on, and Jesus comes in to the lament and says, "You don't have to worry, she's only sleeping." And they thought he was crazy. And then he walked in and he touched the dead body. And in those days, touching a dead body made you unclean and unholy. But he gave that young girl life. And lament was turned into joy. And I want to get back to the lament in Lamentations. Because even though we hear this great proclamation, it is because of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. The people of Jerusalem, before, during, and after that book was written, they didn't see Jerusalem magically rebuilt. Their lives were still shattered and in despair. And out of that despair, he writes this. What was he talking about? The person who wrote this must have been a student of nature. Because in the midst of despair, he noticed that the sun always rose every morning. He noticed that spring always followed winter. And he noticed that God, in his graciousness, was there in the midst of his lament. When we get to those points of life, when year after year we see ourselves in lament, I want us to remember one thing that the prophet put in this lament. And it's in parentheses in the Bible when he says, we need to sit alone in silence. We're putting our mouth to the dust. That sounds really pleasant. And then in parentheses, he says, there may yet be hope. And followers of Jesus, whatever circumstances we are in, there may yet be hope. And that is the promise that we have in Jesus. That is the promise we have in the God of all ages. There may yet be hope. There's a wonderful hymn in our hymnal that was penned by a man who was devastated in his life. His entire family was drowned at sea. And he writes these beautiful words, not immediately after their death, but as he was grieving over time, he writes these words: when peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. Is it well with your soul this morning? Let us pray. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Lord, in the darkness of our laments, when we are woken in the wee hours of the morning, screaming out our laments, Lord, we ask that your grace will sustain us, that we will rise to a new day, knowing that your mercies are new every morning. In Jesus' name, amen.